Probability is the chance an event will occur.
It's Morten Gans-Pedersen, but you've got to go back to the contribution of David Bentley.
The goal is an own goal from Popovic, but it's set up by a piece of genius from Dimitar Berbatov.
And Martin Atkinson, I think, has got the red card out.
Yakubu takes it and
scores! When we speak about probability or chance, we are referring to the odds of an event occurring.
All right, welcome along to Team 33's Fantasy Premier League slot with Owen Sheehan and Tommy Rooney. We did talk a little bit about Game Week 4 last week before the international break kicked in. Now we're kind of going to post-international break, and of course the Aguero ban has kicked in, which is going to be 3 games long, and it does throw up other options. One of them is Diego Costa.
Yeah, I'd say Costa's probably the most popular. I haven't checked the transfers in stats this week, but I presume in terms of a straight swap for Sergio Aguero, he would be the number one pick. But that's purely because most people now have Zlatan in their team. If you don't have Zlatan in your team, he's obviously the guy to go for as a straight swap for Aguero. But it seems to be that Costa...
He is the highest selected striker at the minute.
Yeah, exactly. I'd say people would have just looked at the standing so far, and Costa would have been coming in third place and in the points so far there, so they thought, right, I'll go for Costa, Ibra, two up front, along with a cheap striker for the time being until Aguero comes back from his 2-week Premier League ban anyway. So like that's probably another thing to kind of remember for people, that like it is being labelled as a 3-game ban, but it is only going to be 2 Premier League games he's going to miss. But Costa, he's 9.7, he's just, like that 9.7, it shows obviously 2 price rises. He's at a 15.9% ownership, which has soared up since the first couple of weeks. He does carry that threat of yellow cards, which are almost a certainty. He carries a pretty heavy threat of a red card as well, so he comes with a big health warning. But at Swansea this week, you've suddenly got a very, very strong captaincy option there to really challenge Ibra in that Manchester derby.
He seems revitalised as well. Obviously, he scored those kind of goals in the first couple of weeks, which helps a little bit as well. Cheaper than that, though, is Lukaku at 9 million.
That's the thing. I played my wild card this week.
Yeah.
After a sensational start where he was in the top 5,000, I obviously had that meltdown. Well, I wouldn't call it a meltdown, it just didn't work for me last week. And I was left with like 6 injuries and Aguero being suspended. So I said, you know what? I'm going to play my wild card. Made 8 changes. I'll probably make more or you know, move it around a little bit more until I get there. But that was the thing I obviously looked at first, was who do I go from Aguero to? And with Everton, they've got sensational fixtures coming up.
Yeah.
And it's just about finding the balance about whether, you know, are you going to bring in...
Because if you look at the fixtures, it's Sunderland away, Borough at home, Bournemouth away, Crystal Palace at home, and then City away. Now, City away is probably the one, if you're going to make some changes, it'll probably be before that one. But
yeah,
there's about 4... fairly good fixtures where you'd expect him to maybe score in maybe half of them.
Oh, absolutely.
And I just think the short term of that, the Sunderland Middlesbrough fixtures are probably the most encouraging thing.
Yeah.
Because you have that, as you said, that Lukaku option for those next 2 games while Aguero's out.
Yeah, so I ended up going for Costa because I want to bring in Ross Barkley, and I also want to bring in Leighton Baines. So there is clean sheet options there. And Baines, I know you've had him in from the start. He does seem rejuvenated in the system that Koeman is playing.
And Everton can defend more this season as well.
Yeah. They seem to be better.
But the one concern, though, and it's really annoying because it was a big point hit, but that missed penalty against Shea Given the last game week, that's just so frustrating to hit the post like that.
He'll not be taken off him, though.
I don't know.
He won't be.
I was surprised he took the penalty in the first place.
Really,
I was expecting Ross Barkley. I think he was on the pitch at that time to take it. And I'd even have Lukaku. Lukaku was taking penalties last season, the season before, at certain times. So I wouldn't be surprised if Baines was third choice kicker at the moment. So I'm not saying he's a bad pick by any stretch of the imagination. He's 5.5.
Yeah, he's cheaper. Like last year, he was you know, exactly. Set off 6. He ended up. There's a season before he was closer to 7.
He was 7 at one season. Yeah.
He is
like, in terms of modern fantasy football in the last 5 years, he has been probably the best defender. Perhaps there's an argument for Branislav Ivanovic there. But like he carries that, and he will. I'd say he will score a couple of goals from the spot as the year goes on. But that'll be more when Barkley or Lukaku isn't on the pitch and he's only got to compete with one of them for the ball. The question I have, like you mentioned there, that you brought in Costa and that enabled you to get in Barkley. Does that mean you've got nothing in the bank to get Aguero back in, or have you planned ahead to get that money back in?
I've gone cheaper on my fourth and fifth defender. I've gone cheaper on my second goalkeeper. I had a 4.5 in before.
So you've gone with a goalkeeper you're not going to play?
Jakubovic is in there now. So he's going to play, but like, you know, I'm going to rely on Tom Heaton, who's been my man from the start of the
season. Absolutely, why wouldn't you? Like,
I've gone for a third striker that I'm not sure who I'm going to pick yet. At the minute, it's Patrick Bamford is only in there to fill a spot. You know what I mean?
What price is Bamford?
I think he's 5.
It's going to be very hard to find anyone
Bamford
in that price range.
That's good enough, you know. So you're hoping you're gonna jump on somebody who's going to nick a couple of goals in the next couple of weeks. But he's going to be sitting on my bench. I've managed to bring in Mesut Ozil and Raheem Sterling into my midfield too.
That's a strong midfield. Barkley, so, Ozil, Sterling is a very strong midfield.
And Hazard. And I've got Etienne Caputo, who I'm not expecting to deliver anymore.
Actually,
but he's just there.
Sterling as well could be quite interesting this weekend with the Manchester Derby, because he has played up front before, and he's almost like the type of player you'd imagine Pep would throw up there.
Absolutely.
In an emergency.
There's this weekend, but there's also City's fixture the weekend after, you know, when Aguero's not going to be there too.
Yeah, but I think Pep might just go for an Alito up front.
Think so as well.
I think that's why he signed him for sort of a utility post-Champions League player instead of Kelechi Iheanacho to play up front. I wouldn't be looking at Iheanacho at all. I'm sure there's some people out there who are tempted by him for the next 2 weeks as a short-term option.
Will we know the United City team before the deadline finishes? No, it'll be the deadline finishes. Yeah,
actually,
yeah.
No, sorry, we might.
It's 11:30.
It's 11:30 back to this year, is it?
Yeah.
It was 11:45 last year. And, oh yeah, no. Ignore that entirely. Yeah, no, we won't know before the game kicks off. But we were having this conversation on the last podcast, and it seems that we were that you've almost gone against your own advice there, that we were saying that you going for a Bamford up front or that sort of price range is going to be a tough thing to do, particularly if you've got Etienne Capoue in your midfield, because you're going to have to play one of them every single week.
I think I'll play in a 4-4-2 this week. George Friend has been doing all right. Leave Capoue, Bamford and Galloway on the bench, or even maybe start Brendan Galloway, who had an interesting start with West Brom. He had a couple of shots, 4.5. They're going to start him left back.
He was their most dangerous player in that really dire match.
Funnily enough, he was.
But
it is dangerous. But the thing is, I'm not finished my wild card yet. I'm going to tinker again. I'm also going to leave myself room to get Sergio Aguero back.
But the thing you might consider doing is perhaps downgrading Costa further to a Lukaku and then upgrading Bamford. I just personally would not like to be in a situation where my team is more threatening as a 4-4-2 than a 3-5-2.
Yeah, I get that. Or a 3-4-3. Yes, of course. No, but do you know what? I might have to do it for a week or two. Sometimes you got to do that, you know, if you're going to make room. But on top of that, the two strikers who I'm looking at, and I'd say a lot of people are looking at because of the transfer window, is Boney and Benteke. But I'm going to wait a couple of weeks to see how that goes.
Yeah, I suppose just to wrap up almost, we've had an international break, which has seen certain players do quite well. Now, Robbie Brady, of course, isn't playing in the Premier League, and then you're watching him put balls in at set pieces, and you're like, David Silva, of course, and he did hit the post in their last fixture. The two players I was looking at, Robert Snodgrass, who got a hat-trick for Scotland.
Yeah.
He did show early good signs at the start of the season. But
it's 5.5 though, isn't he?
He's 5.5. He's a great, great pick. I was actually having this conversation with Tommy out in the office a couple of weeks ago because ahead of the last game week, I brought in Andras Townsend. And it was purely because, well, first of all, he's more expensive than Snodgrass, so I wasn't picking him on that. But I picked him purely on fixtures, to be quite honest with you. I love Robert Snodgrass as a fantasy prospect. He's got dead ball in his locker, and he's brilliant at dead ball stuff. But he scored from play against
Left
Leicester in the first game.
Left foot playing off the right. He's going to be cutting in, taking shots.
Exactly, and there is absolutely zero chance of rotation in that whole team, particularly a player of the ilk of Robert Snodgrass. So I would highly recommend him, but as far as I'm aware, those Hull fixtures don't clear up for another 4 weeks or so. You just got to weather that storm for a little bit, keep tabs on him, and absolutely in about 4 weeks' time. I think it's about 4 weeks anyway when the Hull fixtures start to clear up.
Well, they've got Burnley, Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea. Then they got Bournemouth.
Yeah, so that Bournemouth game is when you want, because they've obviously got those three monstrous fixtures coming up.
Yeah.
So it's the next five fixtures, basically. I'd probably hold my fire on Hull. Curtis Davies as well is another Hull player who's looked outstanding in the first 3 weeks, and definitely keep tabs on him as well. And that's kind of a good thing sometimes. Like, one of the big questions outside of fantasy so far has been, can Hull keep this up? And we'll know that more in 5 weeks' time.
They'll probably end up winning the Premier League at this rate because we were doubting Leicester. Now, the final one I wanted to bring up was Adam Lallana, who has had more attempts in the penalty area than any other midfielder so far.
Yeah.
Liverpool are an odd one.
And scored a goal that got Sam Allardyce out of jail against Slovakia.
Yeah, and Lallana's around the 8 million bracket.
Yeah, but I just think that there, you can get Ross Barkley for that price.
You can, yeah, but you can also get Sadio Mane.
Get Sadio Mane for that
not
price.
Far off it.
I'm just really evasive on that Liverpool midfield right now. Yeah. And also, those statistics can sometimes need to come with a health warning. They're a good way to back up some sort of concrete evidence where you're actually watching the game and you're like, right, this guy actually should have scored. Like, I know shots in the box are a good stat, but sometimes when you look at touches in the box or something like that,
shots in the box,
how dangerous was the player is kind of a hard thing to take from that. Stats are very useful and all that, but when it comes to Lallana, particularly that Liverpool midfield, I've found so far Firmino's had some great stats, and he's done is got one assist.
Thing, and like, when you're looking at the fixtures too, you can't gauge Liverpool's the players you're going to bring in on their fixtures. They're playing Leicester and Chelsea next. They'll probably beat Leicester 4-0 and Chelsea 5-0 and then draw 1-1 with Hull.
Can I just make one final point before we wrap this?
Yeah.
This is the week where Dimitri Payet comes back.
Do you reckon?
He's dropped to 9.4 but still has an ownership of 13.7%, which just shows how insanely popular he is. They host Watford this week, then they got West Brom, Southampton, Middlesbrough, Crystal Palace and Sunderland. The fixtures are there. He's going to be back in the team. And West Ham need him in the team. We've seen how crappy they've been at times this year, but still, then you do have Mikhail Antonio.
Are you bringing him in?
I can't afford to. I'm going to use my one transfer to do Aguero to either Costa or Lukaku.
Okay.
But Mikhail Antonio there is another great West Ham option. If you've got him in your team, your stock is going to rise big time. And I'd say he'd be a great wildcard option, actually, Antonio.
Yeah,
I think that's wraps it up for this week anyway. Thanks, Don and Tommy. Next week, we will be back with Richard Dunn. John Hartson will be down the line at some point as well. We've got another double interview we're hoping to nail down, which we'll be recording next week. And that's pretty much it for this week. Joe Coffey's back next week. So is Killian Woods, Derek Ryan. Take it away, Johan. Oi, oi, oi,